In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yesterday being the feast of the invention of the Holy Cross, the exaltation rather of the Holy Cross, we listened to Father's good sermon on that, and today, because of that, we get to celebrate for the second time over the course of the liturgical year the Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. You recall when the other Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows is celebrated? It is during the season of Lent. In fact, it is the Sunday before the real exaltation of the cross, that being that of Good Friday. And so on that Friday before, the church is invited to sit with Our Lady in her sorrow. Why is it that we are invited to sit with Our Lady in her sorrow before the actual exaltation of the cross on Good Friday? And the reason is obvious. It's because unless we already have the consolation of Our Lady, you and I will not have the strength to really derive the great benefit from the exaltation of our Lord when he is raised up in his glory, and we see that we are the reason why he suffers so greatly. And so today, here outside of the season of Lent, the church again turns you and I to focus upon Our Lady in her sorrow. Because sorrow is not experienced only during the time of Lent. In fact, it is so often the case within our lives that we are embraced with so many sorrows, and as speaking with one of our good young men prior to Mass, I shared with him that I wish that I could give an entire retreat just on this very feast day which we have here, 7 days on Our Lady of Sorrows or so. Wouldn't that be a great joy? If you want that, talk to your pastor and maybe he'll grant you that. I would really like to do it. Our Lady of Sorrows, what we know about her is that all sorrows that we have, in some form, Our Lady shared in that sorrow. And that can give you and I strength and courage as we face sorrow within our own life. Let's go through her sorrows and see how that is the case. Her first sorrow is that of the presentation or the purification of Our Lady. What sorrow does she experience here? It's the sorrow of dread. What do I mean, the sorrow of dread? You see, every moment since the presentation had a twinge within the heart of the Blessed Virgin of the impending death of her son. What did Simeon say? He said, "A sword, your heart shall pierce." It is there that it was prophesied and reminded her of that moment that now that he has come, he must also suffer and die. And so every day of her life, from that moment when that child was just a babe, the brutal murder of that child was known and held within her heart. Think of that. Every time he took his first step, the joy of the child doing that. Also, she remembered that step will one day stumble and fall beneath the weight of some sort of terrible torment, though she knew not what. She was never in despair, though. Even though she knew that this to be the case, she was never even morose in her actions. Always our mother, in the midst of her sorrow, trusted in God's providence. And so you and I, when we are full of dread of some impending thing, when we feel that we are under a cloud of so much sorrow, when we know not when the knife will fly, when the axe will come down and bring that thing which we dread so much to bear, we have Our Lady, who lived that way the entirety of the life of Christ up until the point of the crucifixion. She lived that out for those 33 years. And so you and I know where we can draw strength from it, would we experience it as well. What about the flight into Egypt, the second sorrow of Our Lady? Here we have the sorrow of rejection, the sorrow of rejection. Our blessed Lord Jesus, he was rejected from his very first moments here on this earth. He was rejected, wasn't he, even before this sorrow here when there was no room found within the inn for him. Herod, wicked Herod, killed all of those children, seeking to kill Christ himself so that he might just have a few more years of ruling upon this earth to stave off the inevitable which would become his death. He received eternal damnation for a pittance of time. Just 5 more years did he gain within his rule, though he should not have been threatened by the Lord's coming in the least bit. And hence, he spent 2,000 and counting years in that damnation. Mary could never assure our blessed Lord against the rejection that he experienced time and time again throughout the course of his life that deepened her sorrow. Because everyone did reject him. And so you and I and Mary can have consolation from Mary's sorrows, because sorrow, that's a sorrow that she had over those who foolishly prefer evil over good. A sorrow for those who are rejected by those whom they love. When you and I experience such rejection within our lives, where can we go but to Our Lady, who knew how to console her son in those moments and knew as well how to console others within theirs? What is the third sorrow of Our Lady? That is the loss of our Lord within the temple. This is the sorrow of loss and of confusion. Every moment that Our Lady passed with her Blessed Son was a moment asking, would this be the moment when they'll finally come and take him? Will this be the moment that he himself will finally meet his end? You see, Our Lady did not know exactly when the cross, when the suffering, when the death of her son would come. And so when Our Lady turns and returns to him and speaks, she says, why? Why did this happen? Did you not know that your father and I were worried about you? The Blessed Virgin Mary's question is a legitimate one. She's saying, I don't understand. And so what does Mary do for you and I within this? Within this loss of Jesus in the temple, the sorrow of loss and confusion, Mary consoles us when we don't understand God's plan in life. We don't understand why things are going. We don't understand why it has to be this way. Mary knows how to console us in that sorrow. The fourth sorrow of Our Lady is when our Lord is met by Our Lady upon the cross, fourth station. This is the sorrow of compassion. Sorrows in that moment ever increase the sorrow. Our Lady wished to console Our Lord on his path toward the cross, and Our Lord, seeing Our Lady sorrowing so much for him, increased his sorrow. And then Our Lady, seeing the way in which her sorrow caused great sorrow within her son, again redoubled her sorrow over the fact that that had done, and again back and forth and back and forth, cascading and crescendoing into a great sorrow between the two of them, each wishing to compassion the other. There are sorrows in like manner when we can't do anything to fix the sorrow of another person. You know that, don't you, mothers? There's a helplessness. There's a pain. There's a sorrow that occurs when children or spouses have gone astray. You're not alone in that. Our Lady knows what it's like to feel like that when the one that you love is in sorrow and there really is nothing that you can do about it. Go to Our Lady. She knows what it's like. What about the fifth sorrow? That's the sorrow when our blessed Lord Jesus dies upon the cross. This is the sorrow that comes from death. The death of others, or also the death of oneself. Our Lady wished, when she was there at the foot of the cross, to die in the place of her son, just like any mother would when they see their children suffering so greatly. Our Lady wished to die in the place of her son. This is the fulfillment of that first sorrow that was prophesied by Simeon. Realize this, that our Lord Jesus did not feel that lance's pierce as it pierced him, for he had already passed. But Mary felt it fully. Blood and water gushed forth from the sacred heart of our Lord, though he had already expired from this earth, for all had been accomplished, finished. But emotions of love and sympathy flowed freely from the Immaculate Heart of Mary at that lance's piercing. What about the sixth sorrow? That's what we experience at the Pietà. This is a sorrow of memory. What does it mean to be a sorrow of memory? You see, not just the reality of death, but the memory of a person lost still remains, and that increases sorrow. Pain doesn't cause trauma, but the memory of the pain experienced, that's what causes trauma in the life of a person. We experience anew old pains when we remember them over and over again. It's like they're there present to us in that moment, and so it's not the pain itself, it's the memory of the pain that gets to us. Realize this, that Our Lady, she remembers all the mysteries of his life, everything it says she pondered with her own heart. But now all those memories are covered by the tincture of her son's death. The brightness of every joy that she experienced with him within her life is now stained with the darkness of a never again. Never again will she experience those. And all the sorrows of the previous losses she had seen of her son within her life were made worse because the present finalities of no longer being able to console in the way she wished to console them. Our Lady shows us how not to let these agonies of memory control us within our lives. To not let the resentment, which really means resentire, to feel again, to not allow the resentment of loss to overwhelm us and prevent us from action that we must take in our present lives. Mary still lived and loved joyfully daily with the debilitation of agonizing memories of pain. And so if you feel that, where can you go? To Our Lady of Sorrows. She understands. That takes us to the last sorrow of Our Lady, that of his burial, who was placed in the sepulcher. What we have here is the sorrow of life. Life is a sorrow, isn't it? Often. This is the sorrow of living when you prefer to die. Mary had no personal reason for living. Her goals had all been accomplished in the lifetime of our Lord. She knew why she had come into this world. She knew what her vocation was. Her continued earthly existence was a suffering. Nothing in life offered her the comfort that she ultimately longed for, though that which she knew she deserved to have. Her hope was in death, which would allow for her reunion with her son, he who was her mystical bridegroom. Her sole hope was in that departure from this life. Her heart was in the tomb with Christ. But she still went on living, obedient to the command and the timing of the Father. So the Blessed Virgin Mary offers something in this for you and I. Offers us something for those of us who are tired of life, who find life burdensome, who long for death, who live our lives in a sense that we are world weary, who desire only heaven. We who long for perfect love and reunion with just souls, now who have passed on to reward. And so Our Lady offers you and I an example of resignation totally to the will of God, an example of how to take the path forward, even when we wish we could just be released from the sufferings of this present life. When you and I contemplate on this day the sorrow of Our Lady, we might wonder, where did this passion come from? Where did this compassion, this mercy that Mary always seems to be able to offer and desire to give, where did it come from? It came from the ocean of bitterness, which she heroically overcame by God's grace in her sorrows. Mary is called, as St. Alphonsus Liguori states and reminds you and I, the Queen of Martyrs. Why? She's the Queen of Martyrs because while the martyrs suffered greatly unto death and were released by finally being able to pass on, Mary greatly suffered unto death, and yet she continued to live. Her wisdom, it came from her sorrow, and so it is for you and I within our lives. When we endure sorrow well, we gain wisdom. This is the very thing that made her wise and compassionate beyond comprehension, indeed, beyond compare. And so let Mary, most sorrowful, teach us, so that we can allow suffering not to make us bitter, but to make us better, suffering to transform us, to be more conformed to the image of Christ himself. You and I may not be able to become oceans of mercies just like our Queen, but we can become like a drop of an ocean of mercy and compassion for others by imitating her, gaining wisdom that we can share with others. Therefore, let us fly to Our Lady of Sorrows in our sufferings and all of our difficulties. Close with a prayer which St. Bridget gives us to Our Lady of Sorrows. It's in one of the pamphlets in the back of the church. O Blessed Virgin Mary, Immaculate Mother of God, who didst endure a martyrdom of love and grief, beholding the sufferings and sorrows of Jesus Christ, thou didst cooperate in the benefit of my redemption by thy innumerable afflictions, and by offering to the Eternal Father his only begotten Son as a holocaust and victim of propitiation for my sins. I thank thee for the unspeakable love which led thee to deprive thyself of the fruit of thy womb, Jesus, true God and man, to save me, a sinner. O make use of my unfailing intercession of thy sorrow with the Father and the Son, that I may steadfastly amend my life and never again crucify my loving Redeemer by new sins, and that, persevering till death in his grace, I may obtain life eternal through the merits of his cross and his passion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.